Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 3. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. God Almighty, the one whom has chosen His people in Jesus Christ because of the favor of the Son with the Father, He shows us favor in His Son.
Yes, sir.
We looked at this last week, the favor, or that is grace, of God. All things that happen to His people is because of the favor bestowed on us, and that because of His Son. He has complete favor of God, the one in whom the Father says, "I am well pleased."
Yeah,
we as fallen natural men have not earned this. What we have earned is death.
Yes.
The wages of sin is death, and that we have certainly earned. That is what we have earned by nature, and that is what we have received. We have not merited this. All that we do comes from what we are, which is death, so that all we do is filthy rags in God's sight. That is even all our righteousnesses, if you put them all together.
Sir.
All of them are filthy rags in God's sight.
Amen.
We know from Scripture, as the children of God, that we receive the abundance of grace from that gift of righteousness, which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is life by Jesus Christ. This is done by God in the life of a believer in time by two things, as we've seen last week, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth.
Amen.
That salvation comes through sanctification of the Spirit. That is His Holy Spirit cleansing us. Remember Cornelius?
Mm-hmm.
We are set apart, that is cleansed, that is purified by His Spirit. Salvation also comes by belief of the truth. God in sanctification of the Spirit gives us the ability to believe. And then belief of the truth comes from hearing the gospel. God sends someone to you with His gospel. And having been cleansed by His Spirit in giving a new heart, we hear of that faith of Jesus Christ. And that being mixed with faith in us, we believe to the saving of the soul. I said the faith of Jesus Christ proclaimed. That is how faith cometh by hearing. He sends someone to you preaching the faith of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But we read in Hebrews 4:2 it says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." So that faith that comes from hearing must be mixed with faith in you. If God has given you life, He has given you the gift of faith by His Holy Spirit. You having these by the grace of God, then you believe to the saving of the soul. That is the grace of God. But I want to continue with grace of God, and it deals with these two things. We read here that there is a time to kill and a time to heal. God certainly has absolute control over all things. And He does tell us that He kills and He makes alive.
Yes, amen.
It is He that knows and controls these times. But this is not just a general statement in His Word. This is also here to remind us, that is believers, that God always has His time and it is the right time for these things.
Yes.
But this concerns the life of a believer.
Mm-hmm.
I did say that right. The life of a believer involves a time that the believer will be killed by God. This is what I want to talk about today. God and what He does in the believer's life. That time when we are killed. That time when we are healed. Galatians 3:22-24, we read, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster unto Christ, to bring us out of there. It's unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. This time, we can see in Scripture, is that time God puts his people under that schoolmaster. This schoolmaster has one thing it will teach us. It will teach us we are dead. We cannot keep his law. We must have life before we can even know we are dead. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. How is it that God does this? What does he tell us in his word? We already mentioned it. He uses the law as his schoolmaster in grace. It is not a law work, but a grace work. Romans 5:20 says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." This world knows nothing of sin, though they are steeped with it. Being dead in trespasses and in sin, God must shed his grace on us. When this happens, that is in grace, God sending his law to you as your schoolmaster, you will be like Paul the Apostle. He says in Romans 7:7-9, he says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died." Before we were alive, that is, God in grace giving us life, but before this happened, the law did not cause me to see sin.
Exactly.
I could not see it, being dead.
Yep.
I thought myself to be alive and doing my best to serve God by the deeds of my flesh. But when he gave me life, he put his law in front of me, and then I saw what his law was saying to me, and it slew me. I died, knowing that I would not do what the law was telling me to do. Romans 8:15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." That's the first part of it. So this is telling me, although it says it in the negative, you have not received, but it also uses the word again. So this lets me know that at one time I did receive this spirit. This is, in fact, that time of the spirit of bondage to fear. God sending his law before us in grace to show us what we are by nature.
Yes.
Forcing us to the precipice, you might say. We send the law way far above us and behind us, about to push us over the edge where we would fall to our death forever. We have no way of escape.
Yeah.
We cannot keep this law. We have earned the wages for which we now know to possess, and that is death. We are forced into a place of need. We need someone to help us. We need someone who can take our place. We need someone who can redeem us to God. But there is a time and a place for everything. There also comes a time to heal. We need healing. We need reviving. So then comes that healing. That time when God sends the spirit of adoption. Again, Romans 8:15, the last part of that verse. "But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." So this healing begins when he sends his gospel to us. In hearing that gospel, we receive the spirit of adoption. The law was no longer in the picture, so to speak. Finishing up that passage in Galatians, it says in Galatians 3:25, "But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster."
Amen.
This is that time when the born from above sinner who is at that place where he has nowhere to turn, God sends someone to him with the gospel, them preaching the faith of Jesus Christ. So then faith coming to them this way and being mixed with faith in them that hear it, they come forth in belief of the truth. They are born of the gospel. Being made free from the law of sin and death, they are now seeing that one who is their life, coming to know him, Jesus Christ our Lord, who is above all things favored of God. He pulls us in and tells us, I will, be thou clean. We learn through the gospel and by his Spirit that Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He is in fact the very righteousness of God. Romans 6:19 we read, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. So we are to be servants of righteousness. What does that mean? Are we now, once God has shown us by his law that we cannot keep his law, does he then turn around and tell us we should be servants unto that law? Which he has told us we are dead and to that law, and that by the deeds of the law, of that law, this flesh cannot produce righteousness before him. No, we know the old man cannot keep his law, but the new man is not created to serve God's law. He is created to serve Jesus Christ. Amen. Romans 7:4 says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So us being dead to the law, meaning in the context here of Romans 7:4, we are married to another, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. If we try to go back to the law, that is committing adultery. Galatians 1:6 says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. There were some who entered into the midst of the Galatians and were teaching that men needed to be circumcised. They were spying out the liberty, or that is freedom, which they had had and have in Jesus Christ. What were they trying to do? Put men and women back into bondage. Bondage of what? Bondage of the law. Galatians 2:19 says, for I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. We are dead to the law of God so that we might serve the righteousness of God, who is Jesus Christ the Lord. We are not serving the law of God. We are not trying to live by God's law. God does not now tell us that once we come to Christ, we should then look to his law to teach us our way of life. We cannot keep his law. The new man is perfect, but the new man is not keeping God's law, not because the new man does not love God's law. He does love his law, but because we are weak through the flesh, we cannot keep his law. We look to Jesus Christ, who kept God's law fully and completely on our behalf. We are in fact dead to his law, as it says here. Him being the fulfillment of the law of God. Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ was made unto us several things. 1 Corinthians 1:30 and 31 says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. The word there for sanctification means purity. It also means, and we can surely see it here, a purifier. He is what makes us clean before God. You hear some men speak of progressive sanctification. We are not progressively getting better. we have to improve upon, as if we have to improve upon that work that Jesus Christ has done. James 1:25 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." The perfect law of liberty, is that the law of commandments? No, we are freed from that law, but we have been enjoined to that one who has made us free from that law. We are now free to serve God in the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. If we are sanctified by His Spirit, and we are if He does it to us, do we think that we have to improve upon the cleansing that His Spirit has done to us? All we can do is mortify our members. Colossians 3:5 says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Mortify. That is to deaden or subdue. Is this the new man which we are deadening or subduing? This is the old man which we are deadening and subduing. Because this flesh will continue until we lay this body down. This flesh will continually try to raise its ugly head. We will not get rid of this flesh until God takes us from here or He comes again for us. We are not trying to make this flesh better, just subduing it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is a constant battle. Now, if you would, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to try to read the whole verse. I know it's lengthy, but I want to read it. 1 John chapter 3. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels, of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. We by the Spirit of God obey his commandments. And what does this say his commandments are? Thou shalt not? No. That we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. If you think we are looking to God's law as a way of life once God gives us life, then you are looking to be in bondage to the law of God again. Exactly. It is adultery against Jesus Christ. We serve Jesus Christ and we mortify our members. Acts 15:5 says, But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. They were telling them that they needed to keep the law of commandments. Then Peter tells them in 10 and 11, he says, Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. We are delivered from that law, and we now serve Jesus Christ in love, believing him and loving the brethren. We have the fruit of the Spirit in us, and we no longer serve God's law of commandments. Romans 7:6 says, But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, Galatians 2, verses 16 through 21. If you want to turn with me there, I'm going to try to hurry because of time. 16 through 21. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. We do not receive again that spirit of bondage to fear again. But we do have this old nature still with us, which continually cries out to keep God's law for righteousness before him. We must by his grace, and it is always by his grace that we will do anything. That is his favor towards us who has been placed in his Son. We must continue to mortify our members. It is an ongoing battle, but a battle that Jesus Christ has already won. Just continue to do it. There will come a day when we shall see him as he is, and what a great salvation we will see then. We do not see it now. We see by faith, not by sight. But we will one day see him, that one who died for us, that one who had all the favor or grace of God on him. He was full of grace and truth. The new covenant is not dependent on the flesh to fulfill God's law, but it is based on the work of Christ who died the death that we should have died. Him being made sin for us and then dying. The law is no longer that which I am married to. It is gone. It is taken out of the way for those whom he died for. He made me free from the law of sin and death. And I want to read one more passage, Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8, verses 1 through 6. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. What we do should be to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. If it is not, then we should not do it. What things dishonor Christ? For one, trying to keep the law of God dishonors Jesus Christ. Doing this says that what He did was not good enough. Exactly. That you now must somehow to try to keep it for yourself. As Mike McKenna said in one of his messages, the law says an eye for an eye. Expediency, or that is profitableness, says love your enemies and pray for those who mistreat you. The law says tithe. Expediency says give willingly. The law tells you to do this or that. Expediency says make sure your actions bring glory to Christ. The law says thou shalt not steal. Profitableness says let him that stole steal no more. We are at liberty, but we should not use our liberty as an occasion to the flesh. God will allow His people to fall into those places to remind them of the pit from whence they were dead. This is not the spirit of bondage again to fear, but those trials, Joe, that He puts us through to try our faith. We have not received that spirit of bondage again. It will remind us once and again and afresh what Jesus Christ has done for us. So there continues to be, for the believer, by God, a time to kill and a time to heal. When I am weak, then I am strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may it be He continues to take me to that place where my eyes are fixed upon Him, the one who has fulfilled the law, the one who died in my place, taking my wages for sin so that I never have to know them again. Oh, what matchless grace! This is favor He has bestowed on His people by Jesus Christ. God does all things right, and He knows the time to kill, and He knows the time to heal. Look to Him for all things. You will find rest for your soul.